Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we're Champion Chat 360.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. Today we have three lovely ladies. So Danica is here. Yay, Danica, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing, Mama?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a little bit cooler weather, so I don't know about you, but it feels amazing to be cooler weather for a pregnant woman. Everything's doing well. And we also have Melinda Spencer with us, the woman who literally has done it all in the fitness fields with us today. So we're very excited to have her on. Melinda, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Great. Danica, how are you, honey?
Doing good. I saw my little bean move, and she looked like an alien inside of me.
It's so cool. We'll talk a little bit about pregnancy stuff maybe a little later during this recording. But today we're really going to focus on Melinda and literally what I would say a woman who's done every kind of fitness journey that there is. She's done shows, she's done figure and bikini and shows, she's done races, she's done powerlifting recently, she's literally done. Melinda, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about you?
All right, well, as she said, I'm Melinda Spencer, previously Melinda Corsino, but then got married, so changed my last name. So I work as an office manager for a government building. I am also still in school, so I'm working on getting my MBA in finance. Mm-hmm. I have my master's in criminal justice, but I'm clearly not using that at all. And then, as she said, fitness everything. So I started really as a college softball player, and then I love to compete in things, so I just kind of continued after that and kept competing in anything I could get my hands on, which led me to eventually doing bodybuilding shows, which was awesome while it lasted. Then I kind of needed a break from my body, as we all need a break sometimes from that. So then I just started going into, really got involved with CrossFit. I had been doing Spartan races for a long time, but I wanted to increase my training, joined a CrossFit gym, and then, as they say, drank the Kool-Aid and became pretty damn obsessed with it. And then within that, I was like, you know what? I like Olympic lifting, but it's not really my jam. I'm much more of a better power lifter, which is squat, bench, and deadlift, which led me to start competing in powerlifting competitions. So
I forgot CrossFit in that whole thing. I apologize. But
That's okay.
You actually just did a powerlifting meet. Tell us a little about that.
I did. So I found a local meet probably the beginning of this year, and I was like, oh, let me just give it a shot. I'll give it a try. It'll be fun. You know, the worst that can happen is I place last. Mm-hmm. So did that, really enjoyed it, ended up placing in first.
Nice.
So in my weight class, which I was trying to get into the 114-pound weight class, and then I missed it by 1 pound. So that was a lot of fun. So lifted with the heavier girls, which it is what it is, but I got kind of addicted. So I did another one, placed first in my 57-kilogram weight class, and then I just recently did one down in Rhode Island, the Rhode Island State Championship, and I ended up placing first in my weight class there. And thankfully, the big goal there was to qualify for nationals, which I didn't know I had missed in my last meet by only 5 kilograms. I had no idea because I'm still new to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Someone told me, and I was like, oh, that's pretty damn cool. I guess I can make that my goal. So I qualified, and I'm going to nationals in October down in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's amazing. So you're our first powerlifter. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know about powerlifting, tell us a little bit about the setup of it.
Okay, so there's a lot of variations of powerlifting meets, but the ones that I do are just focusing on squat, bench, and deadlift. Mm-hmm. Certain powerlifting meets, you'll do like a bench-only meet, you know, a push and pull, which would be deadlift and bench. But I like doing all three because I don't really have one that stands. Some girls are super good at deadlifts, but they're not very good at the other two. Mm-hmm. I need all three to help me out. So you get to a meet, you weigh in. If you make your weight class, great. If you don't, they bump you up to the next weight class. And then you have to declare your first weight that you're going to do. It's all in kilograms. So that screwed me up royally my first time. I'm like, I'm going to start off my first squat at like 225. And the woman looked at me like, 225 like kilograms. Why are you even here? Like, what is wrong with you? So you declare your first weight and you go out on the platform, which is kind of nervous the first time, because everyone, and they're usually packed, which is surprising. I didn't know this was such like a big thing, but you know, everyone's looking at you. You're the only one on this platform and they call commands. You have to follow their commands. And you lift, and then you have three judges, and they vote whether it's a good lift or bad lift. And then you have to declare your next lift, and you have three lifts per lift, I guess. So three squats, three bench, three deadlift. You have to hit one of each.
Okay.
If you don't, you end up disqualifying yourself because then you have no score for one of your lifts. So that's basically the gist of it. And then at the end, they do a big total, and the person with the best total overall wins the weight class.
That's neat. How did you go from one to the next? Like, what? Let me rephrase that question. Why? Why did you go from one to another?
I think I'm obsessed with competing in things. I think I have a little bit of an issue. But it's not that I think I'm, like, good at everything either. Like, there's some things. I remember competing. I competed in a strong woman comp, which is, like, also did like Atlas Stone carries and all this other stuff. And I placed last. I mean, I did terrible. So I think I like to put myself out there because you never know what you're going to be good at and what you're going to enjoy until you try it. So I think, you know, I found bodybuilding and I enjoyed that for a period of time. And then it got very stressful for me, especially moving from bikini to figure. And I didn't really like figure and I became very stressed over it. So I said, I need a break. So I'm going to find something else. Because for me, it's all a hobby. We're not making millions off of doing this. So if I'm not having fun when I'm doing it, then I need to find something else. So I think that's kind of what led me in this direction.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a really good mindset to look at it and say, if this isn't bringing me happiness, I need to shift. A lot of people get stuck in the, but I got to keep going, and they don't recognize that it's not bringing you happiness. I remind my clients that all the time, that like, all of these sports are voluntary. So at any point, you can decide what you want to do and shift your direction.
Absolutely. And it's not that, you know, everybody finds happiness in something different. So, you know, there's some people that love triathlons. There's some people that love running. And I think it's great for people to just find what like makes them tick, per se, and just go after it, because you only live once. So you have to enjoy what you're doing as your hobby.
Absolutely. It's a tough question, but if you had to pick just one of those sporting events, what would it be?
That's really tough. So I would say I'd have to pick CrossFit to stick with. So obviously I've done CrossFit competitions. Let's be real. I'm not going to be a regional CrossFit competitor. I like them. It's fun. But I like the different aspects of CrossFit because there's Olympic lifting, there's powerlifting, there's cardio, you know, we're doing Metcons, we're doing so many different things that it exposes you to a lot, and there's always something for you to work on and get better. Mm-hmm. I love powerlifting, but if I had to pick one, I would need a little bit of cardio because powerlifting is straight just heavy all the time. So I think I would have to stick with CrossFit.
It kind of has everything in it.
It does. It has a little of everything. So it's fun, and it's always a push, and it's a very cool community when you go to a CrossFit gym as well, because you have people of all different levels that are there working out together, but everyone finds a way to cheer each other on and help each other improve, which is also a very cool thing.
Now, why do you say you would never be like a competitive, like a national level one?
I just don't. There are so many amazing CrossFit athletes out there, and maybe one day if I put all my heart and soul into training, it might happen. But I think my weight is a limiting factor in that as well. A lot of these CrossFit girls are much larger than me, which means they can push more weight, and I'm not going to grow anytime soon. There's some tiny girls that make it to the games as well, but, you know, they put so much time and effort, and I have a full-time job, and I do it for fun. I mean, I do it for fun, and I try to get better, and I like competing locally, but there's just so many amazing competitors out there. I'd be lucky if I made it to that level at any point in my life.
That's awesome. So are you a pro in the WNBF in both figure and in bikini?
I am, yes.
That's what I thought. So talk to us a little bit about that, because we've been seeing that a lot lately, especially in the WNBF, where there is a female is both, she's able to win both her pro card in bikini and figure. And I know for a lot of people, a lot of the competitors that listen, some of them, the thing that's frustrating, and you kind of left on, you went into a little bit of how you were frustrated a little bit with competing. It's hard to divide the line, but then to succeed too. So what's your thoughts of all that?
It's funny. It's all in who shows up to the show, you know, because I even think of myself as much more of a bikini competitor than a figure competitor. The day I showed up to that show, that I ended up winning my bikini pro class. So I came in first in my pro bikini class that day, and then I came in first in my figure class. And I think it was just who was on stage. I just happened to be leaner and a little bit more muscular than some of the other girls that I was on stage with. So I think that just, it's tough because if someone has a good physique, you have to reward them for that physique. And it's really, I can see, and I'm not even really speaking about myself. There was a girl that I competed against recently and at a pro figure competition in the WNBF. And she has a phenomenal physique, almost like she's completely natural, but she almost looks like she belongs in the IFBB. And according to the guidelines, she was more like a bodybuilder for natural competitions, but she blew all of us away in figure. And it was like, how do you deny that? You know, even though there's that line of she technically doesn't fit, or maybe I technically don't fit. If you have the best physique on stage that day, it's like, I guess, very hard for the judges to deny that. And I think that's where you get that tough aspect of crossing over, because if you're the best person on stage, they're going to award it to you, even if you're a bikini pro or you also won your bikini class. I mean, I don't know. And I'm not a judge, so I'm just speaking from someone that's been on stage. I'm sure it's different when you're actually judging a show.
Okay, Danica, what is your thoughts on that from the judge's point of view?
I agree with that. I try to remind people that we take away, like, I know that myself as a judge, I try to take away the thought of, oh, but they were just on stage and they just did this. Your posing is different. What you present to me, the package that you present to me is going to be presented differently. So yes, you might be bringing the, like, you might be the same person in the same body, but it's going to be presented to me in the, in a different way. And if you present the best package, then you are awarded for that. So I can definitely see where people get frustrated, because they can see, but wait, it doesn't make sense because bikini and figure are different categories. Yeah, but they're presented in different ways. So I know that as a judge, it's hard, but I try to look at it just like Melinda said. If you have the best physique on stage and you are posing and presenting your physique very well, you're going to get awarded.
I mean, when you're going on stage in bikini, you're not flexing.
Right.
I mean, I had to try, because I was on the tip of, like, a more muscular bikini girl. And, like, I couldn't even – I had to be, like, relax the quads, relax the quads. Like, I had to tell myself, like, don't flex anything when I'm on stage for bikini. And then when I get out there for figure, I mean, even just looking in the mirror at myself, unflex versus flex, completely different person.
Right.
So it's different. Like you said, it's a different – you're presenting that package completely differently.
Yeah. You're a – is it accountant? No.
Job, my job?
Yeah.
Office man. I was in accounting. I'm now an office manager at that position.
Okay. So you, this isn't your job, but this is your hobbies, we'll say, in a nice, like, a, we're all competing. Yeah. So how does it, how do you have a real job and also, like, balance the healthy lifestyle? Because a lot of people that listen are probably in some way, either they're personal trainers and they're in that, or they're where you are, where they're, they've got a normal 9-to-5 kind of idea or whatever the hours are, and then they fit this in. So how do you do that?
I always tell people that, like, if something is important to you, we make time for it. So if there's something that you love to do, if you love eating ice cream, you're going to make time to eat ice cream at night because that's what you love to do. I personally love to work out in many different forms, so it is a priority of mine to make sure that I get that in, you know, at least 5 or 6 times a week. And that's important to me. And I do have a stepson. Thankfully he's older, so he's a little more self-sufficient, but you know, my husband and I would be at his football practices on Saturday mornings. One person sits, the other person is running, and then we swap off, and then he goes for a run and I sit. So it's like, you have to be passionate about making sure you get it in, but there's always a way to do it if it's important to you. It's, you know, my feelings, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way because you're both passionate about.
Yeah, I love that. I got my bath in before, so I can go to bed after this.
That's awesome. Obviously, I think that your nutrition is different. You've probably changed it throughout the years, but with each kind of fitness adventure that you've gone on, your nutrition needs have been different too. Talk about like the past 5 years and how your relationship with food has shifted and your perspective on nutrition has shifted.
Yeah, so I went from being like a calorie counting nutcase before I started in bodybuilding. So I would just strictly count calories. I couldn't tell you how many carbs I took in a day if you asked me. Then when I started competing, I had a coach so that did my nutrition for me, and that's when I started to learn how to count macros. And he gave me everything. I'm not a trainer myself, so I went completely off what someone else gave me. And I learned along the way. And then when I stopped bodybuilding, and I'll be completely honest, I'm still in a transition period of eating, like trying to have a healthy relationship with food, because I need more food for the types of training that I'm doing. I mean, if I'm doing a CrossFit comp, I mean, we're legitimately working out for like, you know, a long time. We're there all day. So I need a lot more food than I'm used to eating. But in the back of my mind, I worry like, oh my God, how much weight am I going to gain if I eat all this food? Which it's, you know, my body needs it for fuel. So I'm still, even after not doing a show for a year and a half now, I think, I'm still in a transition period with being okay with adding more food into my diet and not letting it bother me mentally. And it's still a work in progress because I have gone from a stage weight, at my lowest stage weight, 107 pounds, 5'2", to being right around consistently 120 pounds now. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy for me because the last time mm-hmm. I was 120 pounds, I was super unhappy with how I looked. Mm-hmm. I have to get on the scale for powerlifting. I have to make sure I'm under 125, and my weight fluctuates very much on a daily basis, so I have to keep things in check, but it's still a struggle now. I won't blame bodybuilding. I'll blame my mindset because I am very type A, and I'm hugely type A and very critical of myself, so I don't blame bodybuilding. I blame how I think, but I'm still working.
Well, you fit right in.
Yeah,
I know. Fit right in with us.
Can you talk about that? Because I'm really, you know, I'm really happy you said that, Melinda, because I'm a person, and Danica is also the same, where I hate when people just blame bodybuilding and that you, like, really use, like, mm-hmm. like, no, I'm not blaming that. So talk to us about what you mean by that.
It's, I mean, like you said, a lot of people say, well, bodybuilding gave me this type of image. You know, I saw my body ripped and shredded. And then, you know, after post show, I, you know, reverse dieted. But now it mentally affects everyone that does it. It just, how it affects them is differently. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe it's the person. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be okay with seeing your body in different states and knowing that you're not defined personally by what you look at in the mirror. You're like a person and you're awesome. Regardless if the scale has gone up a little bit, like it's okay. Mm-hmm. So I can't blame bodybuilding. I mean, bodybuilding taught me a lot. And it gave me now at 120 pounds, I look 100 times better than I did before I started bodybuilding at 113 pounds. Mm-hmm. I stepped on a scale in my trainer's office first day, 113 pounds. And I would take my body now versus then. And it looks like I weigh less, mm-hmm. but I don't, I weigh more. Right. So it's taught me a lot. It's just me mentally still working things out in my brain. Yeah. But I've been like this since, right. I mean, I was in high school counting my calories. Mm-hmm. This is just me. I don't know where I got, how I got this way. But I think it's important for people to like look inside mm-hmm. and see like what the root cause of what's going on is.
I think that what it is that you're female in this world that we live in today. I mean, to be, and not that it's saying like, oh, we all want to be skinny like Kate Moss, but everyone does want to have, for me, I was already skinny. I didn't want to be skinny. I wanted it to be curvy.
Yeah.
So, like, I took advantage of plastic surgery.
Hey, you and me both.
All three. So it's that image that we have in our own mind of what we think a great body looks like. So, you know, and that could be from society. It could be from someone that we see growing up in our family, whatever. But that's where I think a lot of it comes. And then, like you said, I think people's different levels of how they deal with it is just different.
Right. Do you think, Melinda, that social media has had a role in the progress that you've made, like in a negative or a positive way?
I think social media is affecting everyone in how they look at themselves. Oh, my God. Because, I mean, competitors, and I'm guilty of it. Like, I look at people, let's say, on Instagram, and they only post pictures of themselves when they're ready to get on stage. So I'm like, damn, like, she's so, you know, her body's amazing. Like, that would be awesome if I could get that shredded. It was like, she's not like that all year round. And, like, you have to give yourself a realistic expectation of, like, what's real and what's not. I mean, but it, at the same aspect, it definitely keeps me motivated. Social media, just, even if I'm following a CrossFit girl that just, like, clean and jerked some crazy weight, I'm like, wow, like, I want to do that. Like, it's played a, both a negative and positive role. But, I mean, this just everyone having access, even teenage girls having access to, like, all these Instagram pages and these Instagram models, and I'm not saying they're not beautiful and amazing, but it's not completely realistic. And there's also Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come out, even that big Devin Physique thing that happened with all of his Photoshopping his pictures. And it's like, it's an unrealistic expectation. You have to be happy with yourself, but I think it helps in both negative and positive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have a really big following. Do you feel pressure to uphold a certain physical appearance because of your following?
That's an interesting question. I felt it a lot more when I was bodybuilding because there's so many amazing, you know, bodybuilding athletes on Instagram, and especially being like completely natural. And there's a big difference, you know, between natural and unnatural federations, even in bikini. And it's, I felt more of like a pressure because people, I guess whoever was following me were like looking at me, and I just hoped that I did well and didn't make myself look like an idiot. Now that I'm not really focused on bodybuilding anymore and more focused on performance per se, though mm-hmm. I am still crazy with macros and food and super strict, but it's a little bit different of what my goals are. So I think now that my goals have changed slightly than what they were before, I'm a little less paranoid per se of like maybe how ripped my abs look, because someone looking in is going to say, oh, she's doing CrossFit and powerlifting. Oh, she doesn't look like she's not posting about getting on stage anytime soon. So I think I don't feel as much of that pressure.
Yeah. And on that, so doing, I know I keep on going with questions, but doing these other athletic events aside from bodybuilding, do you find that you gain a different relationship or respect for your body and what it's there for, like how it can perform, and that it isn't just physical from the outside, but that it's capable of so much more?
Yes, and that has definitely helped me with the weight gain. Mm-hmm. Because forever after competition, I was like, I'm going to keep myself at 113, 114 pounds. I can totally do it. Mm-hmm. Like, my stage weight was 107. Like, I can totally do that. And, like, I literally had no control over, because what I was eating was not enough to put on substantial weight because I'm so strict with everything. Like, it wasn't like I ate to gain 40 pounds. Like, I am a nutcase when it comes to food and prepping. So I was like literally had no control over what the scale was doing, but because I was lifting so heavy and my body just, I have one of those bodies that puts on muscle very easily. That's just me. I look at weights and my butt grows. Like, it's just what happens. It's awesome, but it's also frustrating when you're like, what? I'm eating super clean and like within this macro count, and how am I possibly gaining weight? And through realizing like, oh my God, my clean and jerk weight went up 50 pounds.
Wow.
Like, in seeing that type of result, I'm seeing results in another area, which is helping me respect the fact that I am, like, my body's changing. So I think I strayed from the question a little bit, but
that's okay.
But yes, to your question.
Yeah. Just gives you a different view on what your body is there for. You know, I think that a lot of the times we get so fixated on the aesthetics of our body, and that becomes our main goal, that we forget that our body is also there to perform. Our body, I mean, it's capable of so much more. And aesthetically, yes, it's great to have like an aesthetically pleasing appearance for yourself, but performance is huge too. And when you're 95 years old, I would want to perform well I don't think I'll give a fuck about aesthetics. I might still want a tight ass, but
you can come to my silver sneakers class, Danica. I think our tight ass will be held up by our depends.
Yes.
So because I love your outlook of it. I think it's a really healthy outlook. I think it's really great to you said like yeah. you have like a thing that you're bad because you like to compete. I think it's normal. It's good to have a goal. And it's great. So what are some tips you would have for our listeners? If you can have one, you can have as many as you want. What are some tips you would give people for who want to try new things? So because you've done so many things, whether it's a 5K or a Spartan race or a bikini competition or any of that.
Write it down.
Okay.
Like if you have a goal, write your goal down. Mm-hmm. I just recently learned this in this management class I'm taking for work. And the instructor was like, we were going through some Olympic athletes. And within that, we're talking about how a certain number of Olympic athletes have written down their goals since they were little kids, and they might not come true. They may come true, but you're constantly reminded of what your goals are. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't write down 50 goals, but let's say in the year 2016, you have a few months left, your goal is to get out there and run a 5K. Find a 5K and sign up for it. Mm-hmm. Put it on the calendar, and then it gives you something to work for. Like it gives you something, and the worst thing that can happen of a goal is that you end up sucking. I mean, nothing bad is going to happen. Like, write it down, go for it. If you suck at it, fantastic. You still tried it, gave it your best shot. No one cares if you failed except for you. And then, but you may succeed and go, oh my God. And that may lead into a half marathon or a marathon, and you may find something you love. So if you have a goal, write it down. Go sign up for it. Have a glass of wine. That's why I tell my friends with Spartan races, I'm like, sit down tonight, have a glass of wine, and just sign up for the Spartan race. You'll feel better about it after the glass of wine. And then you're going to show up and you're going to do it. And you know what? You're not going to come in last. Mm-hmm. You're going to get you're going to gain something from the experience, regardless of what it is. So just write it down, set a goal, and do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of my stuff has panned out great, and some of it I've come in last place. I mean, but who cares? Mm-hmm. No one cares.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a big writer. I write my goals down too. I do vision boards.
Yeah.
And for the Yorton, I actually had it on the back of my phone. I made this like image where I took the picture of, I think it was on the cover. You know how we had that magazine for a little while that had all, and it had everyone, and it had the Yorton in the middle, the cup. So I put that, and then I put a picture of myself and like posing, and I said, so I forgot what my saying was, but it was something to the cup or something, road to the cup, or I forgot what it was, but I had it on my phone. I had it like plastered. I had like Team LeConte things all over my house and like little sayings. So I like that idea. Danica, do you have anything like that that you do?
She had a voodoo doll.
Oh, a voodoo doll.
Christy, don't let her fool you, Melinda. She had a voodoo doll of Danica.
I did not.
She kept poking me. You.
I didn't need to. You know what I did? I kissed your booty just for that luck. I kissed the voodoo doll booty. do you have anything that you do, Danica?
I do a lot of writing down, I think. I don't make vision boards, or I wish I did. I'm just not that crafty. But... you know what it is? I actually tell my husband. Once I tell him, then like, I mean, you know my husband, but he's like, okay, you said it, do it. Mm-hmm. Like he won't let me hold back, and he'll constantly remind me like on a daily basis. Have you done this yet? Have you done this yet? Are you doing this? Like, I think I find people to hold me accountable other than just myself. Mm-hmm. And then I usually put it in my planner. So I put it down in my planner too. Yeah. I think my husband is a big motivator though. He's like my vision board. He's right in front of me right now.
Melinda, how are you able to balance being a competitive type A person and being okay with not winning? Because I feel like some people don't have that good balance. Mm-hmm.
It depends on what I'm doing. Like, so last year for Spartan Race, I ended up winning my coin in people probably don't know what that is. You have to place in like the top five of some sort of any Spartan race, and then you get your coin. Mm-hmm. So I got my coin, and what that means is you can go out to the world championships and run in the coin heat. So in that coin heat, you're running with people like for Spartan races. It's like the CrossFit Games of Spartan racing. Mm-hmm. It's like the Arnolds of bodybuilding. It's like that's what it is. So I was like, I'm going to get crushed. Like I went out there with the mindset of this is just a really cool experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come in the bottom 25% and I'm going to be okay with that because I'm not at that level yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's the mindset that I go into something with. If I go in with the mindset of this is an experience, I'm going to gain something from this. I know I'm not going to place and that's okay. Then I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. If I go into something putting the pressure on myself, like I should be placing top three here, and then I don't, it takes me like a day to like get myself together. I'm not a poor sport, but like I put pressure on myself because I'm competitive and I want to do well. And so it's all in the mindset that I go into something with.
Yeah.
So I try to be realistic of I am not going to be competitive in this, or I should absolutely be competitive in this. And then I kind of just go from there.
Nice. I like it. It's honest and it's real life.
Yeah.
So another thing that you kind of talked about with us while we were on your podcast, which we'll talk about, we'll place at the end and we'll place a link in the descriptions below, but kids.
Kids.
Man, what's the future like for you?
So we will probably be trying to get pregnant next year. So we'll see how that goes. I have a stepson already. My stepson is with us full time. Mm-hmm. So there's one for you.
That I got one.
I got one and I didn't have to give birth. So that was kind of a bonus. Nothing, not that there's anything wrong with giving birth, but that makes me nervous as well. So
us too, don't worry.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I've got to do it at some point. But I'm getting my MBA, so I need to finish or at least be almost done when I'm pregnant because I don't want to have to juggle work, school and a little baby.
Yeah.
So that's the reason for waiting. But yeah, the goal is to hopefully, and you never know what's going to happen, but the goal is to hopefully within the next 2 years. So we'll see what happens.
That's exciting. A stepmom. How old is your stepson?
He's 14 now.
14. So I remember giving my stepmom hell. Like God bless her heart. I don't know how she survived. Like my other two siblings were younger, but I was probably, what did we calculate it to, Christy? Like 6 years apart from her.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not coming into this household and trying to be my mom. And I was just so mean, but like, how do you do it? Like, how does it feel to be a stepmom? I think every situation is two.
Yeah. Were you 6 years apart, like age-wise from her?
Age-wise,
okay. So, no, I mean, I can relate to that. So, my husband and I have an age difference. and so, I met Aiden when he was – I said his name. It doesn't matter. Everyone knows his name's Aiden if you're on my Facebook. So, I met him when he was 9. So, we're actually 14 or 15 years apart, Aiden and I. I think it might be a different situation. Every situation is different depending on the family dynamic. I can say this on air that his biological mother is not very much in the picture for various reasons. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I think there's less maybe confusion for him. And I always, I met him when he was 9. So I never stepped in and was disciplining and yelling. And I think I've yelled once at him since he was 9 years old. And that was recently. So, and because he's a teenager now, so he did something really obnoxious. But, you know, I was more of like dad's cool girlfriend, you know, a dad's cool girlfriend. So I was less of trying to be his
dad.
And I think we have a pretty good relationship. There has really, surprisingly enough, because I was assuming that at some point in time that was the you're not my real mom conversation was going to happen. It hasn't. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe I'm just lucky that things just fell into place and we get along and he's a funny kid. And he calls me Melinda. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to call me. I mean, if he wanted to call me mom, he could, but he calls me Melinda. I am able to hopefully set an example for him in different aspects of his life. But I kind of let his dad do all the yelling and disciplinary action because I still feel a little bit off on that. being a step parent, but it's worked out. And I think I'm lucky because of all the stories I've heard about step parents stepping in and having like bad relationships or different things, because it's tough for the kids. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line, is it's tough for the kids to deal with family situations. So I think honestly, I'm lucky with how well things have gone.
How is it being the hot stepmom, especially for a 14-year-old boy?
I know. That's funny. His friends have been fun. Like, he, forever, I tried to keep, like, all of my Facebook and Instagram stuff private for that reason. I didn't want, like, comments at school or stuff. And now, because of, like, the things I've done, I've had to publicize things. I've had to make them public. And he hasn't ever really complained. He said, like, a couple guys at school will make funny comments, but it hasn't been that bad.
That's good.
Thankfully. That's good. I mean, he's just entering freshman year now, so God knows what's going to happen when he's a senior. But, and I'm sure I remember growing up with some of my friends having their hot moms, and we were always saying stuff. So, but I think, I try to dress appropriately around the kid. Like, I try to keep it respectful. And when I'm going to school events, like, I'm in, like, work clothes. I try to make it so it's not an awkward situation for him ever. I don't like when his friends come over, like, I'm wearing sweats. Like, I'm not in, like, my workout booty shorts. Like, yes. I try to keep it low-key is what I would normally walk around in. And his friends are awesome. Like, and his friends' parents, too. I mean, that was also a worry, because you don't know what his friends' parents would think of me. And, like, I'm on stage in a bikini, and would they want their kids coming over the house? Because I'm, they see me on stage in a bikini, and that could be for an awkward situation. But everything, honestly, everything, friends, parents, everyone has been like super supportive and awesome, and I've had like no issues. So kudos to everyone, because it's not been hard, thankfully.
That's awesome. That is funny. It's funny.
So I have to tell you a funny story on that. That doesn't have to do with, it doesn't have to do with my stepmom at all, but my dad. So I did a photo shoot. Obviously, a lot of stuff is on Google.
Yep.
I did a photo shoot with Arch Enemies. Christy, you know this one.
Yep.
And it literally, at one point, I'm pretty sure I was just covering my nipples. And so my dad was talking to, like, one of his coworkers what his daughter does. And, she does competitions. You should Google her.
Oh, no.
Oh, I've had that happen.
Google comes up. Arch Enemies comes up. And my dad was like, delete. So my dad was like, listen, I have a 14-year-old brother.
Yep.
And sister. But he was like, I don't need Matthew Googling you. And I was like, sorry, Dad. Aren't you so proud of me, though?
No, that happened. I had a situation where one of my family members told my parents about, like, some photo shoot that I did. And my parents, like, see all my stuff anyway. But they're like, you should look at this, and what is she doing? And I'm like, because of that reason, I try to make sure that in every photo shoot, I'm wearing something that's no less than a bathing suit. So my excuse is, like, you see me at a beach in a bathing suit. So this is no different, as long as my pose isn't super suggestive. So I try to keep it at that level. And, I also work for the government. So I don't know how that would work if, like, my boss was to look me up and I was, like, just covering my boobs. I mean, I've taken some fun photos, but they're private and they're not ever going to be released. Nothing naked, to put that out there, please, before that gets out there. No. But just something that I wouldn't feel comfortable putting on social media. But I do have to keep in mind that Aiden is 14 and his friends do know how to search the internet.
Oh,
that's right.
So I got to keep it, like, appropriate. And I asked my husband, like, what do you think? And, of course, my husband's like, that's super hot. I'm like, yeah, I know, but. But would we feel comfortable if, like, little Johnny was.
Right.
Oh, that's so funny. Gosh, my dad doesn't even have to go that far. I just get on stage and he's like, Christy, I'm really proud of your dedication, but that back pose, I just don't like it. I'm like, because you're a weirdo then. It's just me turning around and facing the back curtain. But yeah, but your butt. I'm like, dads, like, honestly, dads. awesome. So what's the future hold for you for fitness-wise?
Oh, fitness-wise. So right now I am strictly concentrating on CrossFit and bodybuilding. bodybuilding. Wow. CrossFit and powerlifting, more powerlifting. Have nationals, so I'm going to go do that. Again, that's one of those things that I'm going to go in and say, I am not going to be on that podium, and that's okay. My goal is to do the best for myself.
We're going to make you say, like, yeah, I'm going for it.
I already know there's girls there that deadlift 400 pounds at 125 pounds. I'm being real with myself. I'm just going to be, like, with my mouth open, like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, that's fucking amazing. But, yeah, so that's next on. And then after that competition, I have two more. I have the New Hampshire State Championship powerlifting meet and the New England Championship powerlifting meet in November, December. So that's pretty much what I'm focusing right now, just getting my totals up for squat, bench, and deadlift. And next year is really a crapshoot because it depends on what happens per baby, no baby. So I'm taking that as it goes. I'm going to compete in things as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And then whenever something happens, then I'm going to have to slow it down just a tad.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
You know, the powerlifting and the babies go better, I think, than competing on stage. Cause, you know.
Yes. Stage is on the back burner. I always said I think it would be a really cool goal to have a child and then set a goal to get back on stage, just like a bikini competition, even if I, you know, lost my pro status because I haven't competed in so long, just as a goal, like to for fun. I don't know if I'm going to end up doing that, but it may happen. It may be what gets me back on the stage because I'm not going to be able to, like, be at CrossFit and stuff as much when that happens. So we'll see.
So we're going to wrap this up for you since we're coming closer to our hour mark for you. Thank you so much for all your time today. But we always end this with one thing that you're thankful for or grateful for today. It could be today. It could be for the week that you are kind of celebrating.
I would have to say I'm thankful for having a super supportive family.
Yeah.
My parents have always been at everything I did growing up, no matter what I was competing in. They can't make it to as much now because I'm all over the place. You know, my husband, who's just like, yeah, go for it. Oh, you have another comp? Okay. Like, everyone is very supportive in my life, and I couldn't do that without them being okay with my crazy schedule and supporting all the training and showing up to things. And so I don't think I'd be where I am today if I didn't have that support. So that would be what I'm thankful for.
Danica, my love, what are you thankful for today?
I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for him always, but more today because we are doing a very short visit on Sunday to go, and I'm so happy he's going to wake up early, and it's going to be a quick visit to go see my grandparents, who are having their 65th anniversary.
Wow.
I know. So I'm super pumped, and I get to see Josie, my niece, who's only a week old, my mama, and I haven't seen my dad since I announced I was pregnant. So I think I should see him before I have this. Right. What are you thankful for?
Let's see. So Saturday was my baby shower. And today is Wednesday, and I was able to get all the stuff. I had so much stuff that I got, but I was able to get most of that stuff put away. Not all of it, but most of it. And my house isn't full of pink sparkles as much. They were everywhere. Because I have to flip it, because tomorrow my husband's having his work fantasy football draft at our house. So it went from from very girly to very, like, football manly. Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious. But I was able to accomplish it, and I was pretty proud of myself. I was, won't lie.
Aw, good job.
But if there's anyone out there that is a professional organizer, please email me. I will hire you to come to my house.
If I lived closer, I'd do it for you.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, I'm a type A nutcase, and that also comes with organization and cleaning.
Yeah.
So. If I live closer, I totally do it for you.
I mean, my life has now switched from, like, fun things for the shower to, like, how do I organize all this shit?
Yeah. You got a lot of stuff, girl.
Oh, my gosh. And just think of it. Like, so it just starts with, like, clothes that are small. And I'm like, God, there's going to be toys. And I just got overwhelmed the other day. So I was just like, oh, my gosh, there's going to be so much stuff. I'm just throwing all my shit away and just leave everything for her. So anyway, side note, sorry about that. So Melinda, tell us a little bit about your podcast, and then tell us a little bit about how we can reach you on social media and everything else.
Got it. So my podcast, it's a technically Blog Talk Radio show. It's all done live. And I've been running that since last August, so pretty much a one-year mark at this point.
Yeah.
It's sponsored
Congrats.
By... Thank you. It's sponsored by P4P Muscle, who's my supplements sponsor. And I... My kind of like my life, I try to get a bunch of different people on there that compete in multiple different facets of everything, as well as bringing on like nutritionists, and I did a body image show. I mean, just like doctors. I just try to bring on like any and everything that relates to fitness in some sense, because I like anyone listening in to realize that there's so many options for things that you could be interested in. And I like people to share their passions and why they got into it. So it's crazy. My next show, I'm actually doing middle of September, and I have Tylee Thurber on, and she was came in sixth place in the CrossFit Games in the 14 and 15 year old division. She's actually from New Hampshire. So it's going to be really cool to talk to her, because she's 15 and went out to the CrossFit Games and like placed. So
that's awesome.
That's going to be crazy and a lot of fun. So that's the next show that I have planned for now. I used to do them a lot more often. I'm now kind of doing it like once or twice a month, 30-minute sections, because I'm so crazy busy. But so that's what's up next. And social media, I have my regular Facebook page, which is kind of maxed out on the friends end of things. So I also have my fitness Facebook page. It's under Melinda Corsino still, fitness bikini competitor. If you type in Melinda Corsino, it'll come up. And then Instagram is Mel C WMBF Pro. And Twitter, which I literally don't use unless I'm Instagramming. I'm Twittering through my Instagram, but that's at Melinda Corsino as well. So that would be social media.
Nice.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, we want to thank you for coming on and really telling us a little bit about the ability to go from one to the other and not get one stuck or bored. Like, it's okay to change things up.
Yeah.
And that it's great to be competitive, but you don't have to be an asshole.
Yeah, absolutely. It's okay to lose.
Yeah.
It's okay to not do well at things.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, try something. Try something new.
We love that.
Try it.
Excellent. So from us, you can reach us at championchat360@gmail.com. You can reach us on Instagram at championchat360@gmail.com. We will link all of our own social media things and websites and everything in the links below, so you can reach us all there, and you can check out Melinda and her website, and her blog. Can people listen to your podcast after they're done, Melinda?
Yep, they can always listen to it. So I post the links. I actually, on both of my Facebook pages, I have an album, and the album is Fit Talk with Melinda Corsino. So in there is like the promotional stuff, and there's a link to every show that I've done, so people can listen to them at any time.
Perfect. So we'll put that in there too. So thank you for everyone to listen. And ladies, let's say goodnight. So have a great day.
Bye. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.